Welcome back to the Spinner Rack, all you new you maniacs here at Season 4 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We're your hosts,
Andy, and I'll be talking about Psi-Force number 25, Psy-Hawk Returns to Save the World. And maybe you get to do some stuff too, right?
Spoiler alert. And Steven with Universe News. In 1986, the new universe was launched as an imprint from Marvel Comics, dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics and world building. The original idea was the world outside your window, with real-time progress and greater realism. After the first year, some books were canceled, though we are seeing their characters in other places. And the remaining books have gotten consistent creative teams, their origins were streamlined, and they are becoming more action-oriented as the new universe becomes increasingly militarized in the wake of the world-shaking disaster, The Pit. Since then, we have seen the U.S. government drafting paranormals and possibly gearing up for a war. With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each comic in the order they hit the spinner rack. Or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. You can find us over at our website, kickersinc.com, where we have a Season 4 trivia challenge now available. Yep. And you can find us at X, formerly Twitter, at Kickers Inc., which is updated a couple times a week, which is apparently not enough for everybody. I know.
Twice a day, man. Like it's your job.
One of these comic dudes who just hangs out on Twitter all day. I don't know, man. That doesn't sound healthy at all. Anyway, this week we get back to Psi-Force, a group of psychic teenage paranormal runaways bound together by a psychic entity called the Psi-Hawk. Now reunited and on the run from both sides of the Cold War. They couldn't elude the draft by hiding in Canada, and it cost one of them her life.
Indeed it did. See, last issue, Psi-Force number 24. Also at the beginning of this issue. But yeah, this week, Psi-Force number 25. It's a titanic fight to the finish when Psi-Hawk tackles the Russian paranormal Rostvow, and only one will survive. Written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Graham Nolan, inked by Mike Witherby.
All right. We will also be looking at Universe News.
Also featuring Mike Witherby.
Wait. It's like Mike Witherby show. So let's see. In our tradition, as is our way, we offer odds of what's going to happen. In this issue, someone's supposed to die. Psi-Hawk, 1-1. Rostvow, 1-1. Kleenex, or take no wagers on that. Sorry.
Dang. Trying to remember, what was my thoughts on which one was going down?
I think you suggested that Psi-Hawk would go down.
Yeah.
I was reluctant to accept that, but I felt like I couldn't argue it either. So we will see.
We will see, unless you already know, in which case, pretend to be surprised while listening to this podcast. Otherwise, Mike Witherby will be disappointed in
you. Bye!
Witherby! Oh. Well, hey, let's find out, right? You know, Psi-Force number 25. Cover November 1988, although it likely came out July 26th, 1988. The recap is pretty well covered. This one's got kind of an updated inside. So again, when they expanded the comics to more pages, then we get this nice little inside cover page that has all the credits and then usually a little detail about the story. And we got Separated for months, the teens reunited only to see their close friend Anastasia and Yushin killed by the United States Army. Surprisingly, not directly killed by Colonel McIntyre Browning. Now they face a
Take
Russian.
her down! Take her down! Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Now they face a Russian paranormal foe of unimaginable power, especially because his powers are loosely defined. An animal whose actions originally forced the team apart and whose current intervention resulted in Stasi's death. Of course, that's Rostov, and he blew up the clinic, annoying us because.
Sanctuary.
Oh, sorry, the sanctuary. Good call. Good call. Annoying us because we wanted to know how many rooms were in it and stuff. It seemed limitless. Like, how can you bring the sanctuary down?
Yeah, we never got a good map like in the back, like a official
Right.
handbook page. So
possibly also like crippled the skipper, right?
yeah, the killed Colby, crippled Skipper, something something.
Yeah. Anyway, joined by another paranormal, Lindsay Fallman, who's, we swear, not useless, the five teens had finally merged their abilities to create the only being powerful enough to face Rostov. That's, of course, Psyhawk, who
The Star Brand?
we haven't seen in a while.
We have not. I'm going to say that Fabian Nicieza, when he took over, said we probably won't see Psyhawk for a while, and when we do, it might be for the last time.
Yeah.
He has definitely been avoiding Psyhawk.
Which
It's
kind of stinks. Maybe he felt he was too overpowered, but I don't know. We'll see. There's no guarantees in life and the new universe. Though dead tends to mean dead in the new universe also. So many things to find out. Anyway, we get a date. April 5th, 1988, 2:55 p.m. in Lincoln Crescent. The phone rings. I can feel her disappointment. So we got Mac Browning taking a break in his vacation chair with his family. His daughter's like, "Daddy's for you. Sounds like another meanie." Can't be nastier than that guy. But anyway, says, "Oh, it does. Well, young lady, you get in here and keep Daddy's vacation chair nice and warm. Look, Bugs Bunny's on." So he answers the phone. He's like, "Yes, I understand. It's the Russian. Are you sure?" "Right. Yes. See you there." And so we get kind of this nice little panel of him like hanging up the phone with like, you know, doing like the hand on head kind of Captain Picard meme, just like looking down and out, which almost makes me feel bad for Colonel McIntyre Browning having to leave his family and, you know, face peril. Almost. Maybe he's just a misunderstood family man. I don't know.
It's a nice moment, yeah.
It is nice. We cut to some reporters thinking that there's not much going on, getting ready to roll camera. Veronica Amstel and Ronnie, or no, she's Ronnie, sorry, and her cameraman filming at the Smithsonian when there's a big explosion. She decides to keep the camera rolling. We cut to, well, you know, we kind of continue, I guess. Maybe this is the narration of Wayne.
This is Wayne here,
the color's a little off, but I think this is Wayne, right?
Yeah, the previous ones are seem just generic. I don't know.
Yeah, right. So we get color-coded narration, which I'll explain in a minute, which won't matter if you're just listening to it, but it makes it hard for me to keep track of who's who. You need to put like a little head next to the box or something. That
Oh,
would have been cool.
yeah, like I know Adam Warren would do that sometimes.
It's a
trying
good
to who
method.
else would do it.
He works a lot in black and white too, which helps. But he's saying, "Remember the Midnight Oil tape, guys? That would be cassette tape for you young folks." It's called
Midnight Oil was a band, guys. A
apparently.
band.
It's called Diesel and Dust. Played it nonstop driving down to Fort Benning. Linz, Ty, you wanted to kill me. But I kept telling you the words were important. They had a lot of meaning. Thinking of Stas land dead 3 miles away. So like we get this, him like talking about this music, but then it's like a like rough shot of like them collapsed with Stasi's dead body lying there with her eyes still open, and there's like debris kind of falling on her. And like honestly, that to me that was more impactful than the previous one. But turn the page, we get a big splash page. But first, it says, think of one of the songs. It says, put down that weapon or we'll all be gone. You can't hide nowhere with the torchlight on, and it happens to be an emergency. Some things aren't meant to be. Some things don't come for free. I mean, that doesn't really sound like that great of a song, but anyway, some hippie anti-war crap. I don't know.
Apparently, Midnight Oil, like the lead singer, like stood for the parliament in Australia for a while. He was this big like political activist with just sort of a sideline in like music stardom, I guess.
Okay.
And
Yeah,
mostly
so.
they had at least one hit in the US, and the guy shaved his head, so he's a sort of striking figure, but
Yeah.
that's all I got for you.
So we get the. I totally skipped the cover, but anyway, this is basically the cover.
This is, yes, the cover redo redux.
Like a full two-page splash, title of the book, Drowning Under Fire, which is basically Psyhawk, kind of like a new, slightly new design of Psyhawk, squared off against Rostvow, who is mostly like glowing yellow bits. Like there's not too much flesh showing from him. I think we had learned a while back that like he's trying to like burn off most of his human body and become all energy. Perhaps as one of his life's goals. But yeah, they're basically squared off right above the Capitol. You can see kind of like the reflecting pool and, some of the buildings underneath them. And yeah, Wayne kind of keeps going, talking about the song, talking about Stassi being dead, lines like things you gotta sometimes kill for or get killed for, right? Which I guess is prescient. It says, are we ready for this? Some maniac paranormal calls himself Rostvow, who tried offing us once before, is trying again. This time I think we're ready. This time we know about ourselves, about our powers, about Psyhawk. Somehow, right? I mean, you haven't used it in forever, but Kathy Tai, let's get close enough for Boyd to leech him. So what we kind of figure out, which is new, and it confused me for quite a while. And a couple pages in reading it is like they're all in control of Psyhawk now, which was never the case before. Pretty much they would kind of pass out and Psyhawk would do his thing with whatever powers he had, is really kind of how it used to work, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like he would sort of take their powers and exponentiate them.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was never like talking, and it never sort of seemed like it was just them. It was like very external, yeah, not like this whole group of independent minds joined together.
Yeah.
But okay, that was a while ago now, so.
Yeah. I think I made like the Voltron connection from before. But now this feels exactly more Voltron-y, right? Because they actually sort of combine into him, and apparently have some kind of control, or they can kind of swap control between them. So
Yeah, that makes.
yeah, so Rostvow's kind of standing there, and Psyhawk goes flying in. And we get the narration from Thomas, who says, it's a mistake, you idiots. You spar with your opponents first. Get his measure. Psyhawk is flying in, gets repelled by pink shield of energy. Again, Rostvow's powers are kind of weird. We know he can kind of like explode things and people, maybe teleport,
Yeah.
but everything else is a little vague.
He's like a star brand, like a John Byrne star brand, not a Jim Shooter star brand.
Right. Do whatever you feel like.
I mean, there's like on the next page that looks like electrical energy, then there's just a psychic
Beams getting
blast
shot
and
and super
this.
strength and flying
So,
and
okay.
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 Yeah. Right. But yeah, they kind of fight and argue. Tucker either do it right or let me run the show. Then, like Wayne responds, hate to tell you this, Boydie, but it looks like we're in this together. And then in orange, Kathy's like, maybe that's what Emmett Proudhawk wanted all along.
Why isn't Kathy the pink one?
Is it? I think Kathy's
No,
orange and
you're
Tala's
right.
pink.
Yeah.
Don't mess me up here. I got a color-coded list here.
Look, we all know the Power Rangers where like the girl was the pink one. Although Kathy's also Asian. So. No, anyway, let's just skip on to it.
Gotcha. Oh, so yeah,
Why
basically,
does Tyrone?
why does Tyrone? Yeah. Psy-Hawk gets flung into a building. He kind of uses Kathy's powers to like throw rocks, which actually connects and kind of smacks Rod Stroud in the face, and knocks him into the reflecting pool, basically. It's like, let's do it by acing the pig that killed Stassi. It's like, hey, Kathy, he didn't really kill her, you know? It was the army guards that shot her. Shut up, Lindsay. You didn't even know her. It's kind of weird that they're like bickering a little bit, even though it's like kind of serious. And also, their friend just died. And their unconscious bodies are lying nearby, which also could probably get killed, right?
Where is it? Well, it's like a couple miles away, so
Yeah. Anyway.
yeah, it's I suppose we're lucky that like Psy-Hawk doesn't just start acing army guards for like revenge. But
Right.
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't control him. A lot of pilled up anger there. I don't know. You guys shouldn't have shot the teenage girl, I guess. That's not on me. That's on you. Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, Rostvao in the water kind of pulls the classic like explosion, all the water goes away. He's fine. He's like laughing. And hits Psy-Hawk with a power beam. Kind of another explosion kind of breaks the building behind him, kind of staggers Psy-Hawk a little bit. It's like he blew up the air. Everyone okay, Lindsay? He's like, I'm fine, I'm scared. Me too, hon. This is Wayne and Lindsay talking, narration boxes. It's like, oh, again, Thomas is kind of the tough one. Forget about your fear, swallow it now, or we're as dead as Stas. So this is pretty wild. So Psy-Hawk kind of flies off to retreat. Again, like one thing I noticed is they never used Tyrone's power in this, which seems like it really, really, really would have been useful, especially his expanded power set, but they never do. So he flies off, and Boyd calls him to stop. So I think it's Kathy in control at this point. Yep. Again, the colors, it makes me pause. So he lands on top of the Washington Monument, and Thomas is like, you couldn't stop all the rocks before you, right? And everyone's like, you gotta be kidding. And Psy-Hawk, through the magic of superhero physics, grabs the top of the Washington Monument. How do you get a grip on this? I don't know. It's not the world outside your window so much anymore. Rips it out of the ground.
Let me go back
And
to the initial statement by Jim Shooter that you wouldn't just be able to like pick buildings up and throw them at people.
yeah, and honestly, like when I look at this, I'm like the thing would have crumbled apart. Like, it's not a solid piece of stone.
Yeah, you could maybe do this with like a real Egyptian obelisk, even although that would presumably also not be held together in a useful way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, this is, yeah.
It's impressive, if a little off. But basically, yeah, like grabs the thing. We get kind of like a psychic pink crackle or something. So maybe he's like lifting it with Kathy's powers or something, and then just swinging it with his arm strength.
Yeah, I mean, okay, Kathy's power can kind of keep it together and, use it as a big stick.
Yeah,
Okay.
so maybe we'll give him a pass on that
You
then.
know, there was like a this big thing in the one where they're in San Diego and the Medusa web's fighting them, where there's this kind of big obelisk sculpture that I think Kathy like, threw or fell down onto someone. I don't know. It's been a
Right, but
while.
then plus Psy-Hawk's extra power means super duper. But yeah, as you'd imagine, rips the monument out of the ground, swings it like a baseball bat and like sends Rod Spout flying into the horizon, basically. So he crashes through the Air and Space Museum, and so this is like a sneaky little connection to what we saw in Justice, where he crashed through, and then we saw like a little glimpse of the two fighting. Notably, like we don't see Kleenex or Angie Tenson in here. Also, Rod Spouse not wearing pants like he was in Justice. If you looked back in
Was
the
he?
panels, like he was wearing a brown pair of pants.
I totally missed that.
That's
Okay.
kind of funny.
All right. Just.
But yeah, so Rod Spout kind of crashes, shakes his head, randomly annihilates three civilians. So he kind of has this like energy power, and he basically, yeah, it looks pretty cool actually, art wise. Like he just vaporizes them, so you get a big flash of yellow and burnt black skeletons within the cloud.
Yeah, it's oh man, where does that go back to? Like they were the 1950s War of the Worlds, and then maybe what's that Mars invasion thing that Tim Burton did? Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks, yeah. I
Where they
always think
like
Terminator 2, but
that like beam, and then you're just like you just see a skeleton
yeah.
and you know that sort of thing. I remember
It's
that
kind of
comes up in
classic.
a couple in, yeah. But Dorax, I never did real like get a good translation for whatever he's shouting there.
Yeah. I'm gonna say it means eat it in Russian.
Dorax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, at this point, Mac Browning takes his time to fly in on a helicopter, right? So how
This
does
is Colonel McIntyre Browning. ID number 47392, representing the Defense Intelligence Agency. Okay,
my
cut to the chase,
prediction in
bud.
terms? So yeah, he flies in a helicopter and tells him to stop. Like, knock it off, guys. And he's basically flying right next to Psyhawk, which presumably doesn't know what it is or have never seen it before. And he's like, do you understand? Can you speak? Your fighting has injured dozens of civilians. And I mean, the joke just writes itself there. It's like, injured, like you can't even finish the job. What kind of paranormal are you? We kill the civilians, we don't just injure them. Also, it's funny that he's yelling at Psyhawk, who's like, he doesn't know, and I get that, but like Rod Spout just minutes before, or just one panel before, just annihilated three civilians. So, we kind of know which side Mac Browning's on at this point.
I mean, it seemed like the CIA knew Rod Spout existed or something. Like,
Yeah. Well, because
when
we
he
got
appeared
clips
there.
of him. We had heard about his
Oh,
actions
that's right.
before because he was doing stuff in Afghanistan. So he was like Russia's secret weapon, and they were kind of scared of him.
That's right. So, yeah, they should recognize that the which one of them is the worst one, I guess, but
You would
okay.
think. You would think. But it basically leads Wayne to like mind probe Mac Browning. And so we get kind of a vision of the pit. He's like, he's an army bigwig. This is what he's afraid of. It's the pit. And Tyrone pops in, I was there. It's what's left of Pittsburgh, And like, do you think Rothschild might have made it? He's like, no, like we can't even do that kind of thing yet. And this commie pig is barely holding his own against us. So Psy-Hawk or the group ends up having a conversation with Browning kind of psychically, I guess. Or at least Psy-Hawk's side is psychically. He's like, listen, Browning, we're trying to help. It's like, how? By destroying the nation's capital? It's like, we're the only ones who can stop this maniac. Look at him. You think anything sort of a nuke is going to do the job? You ready to go that far, or are you going to let us try? It's like, all right then, but if you cross me, I'll blow you both out of the sky.
Nuke DC.
No, because I mean, some non-civilians would get caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, I think it's my sense that Browning lives in the area too, so he probably would be reluctant to make a
Yeah,
crescent. I thought
maybe
that
a
was
mini
like a suburb.
nuke. Right. So Sahak flies off with this kind of like shaky agreement. We cut back to the reporter who we saw kind of in the beginning, who's arguing with the army and wants to get on the scene. Like, this is big news, like we need to be filming this. And pure this all goes down in pure Mac Browning style. They're getting ready to kind of shuffle them off and get them out of there. I mean, for their own safety, right? Like, that would be the main reason to keep them away from the square. And the reporter and the cameraman are like, "Sorry, pal, this is too important." So they kind of knock the army guys out of the way, start running towards the National Mall. She's like, "Keep it rolling, Bob, and hurry." And the army guy pulls his gun, says, "Freeze now." Says, "Well, they made their bed," and shoots them. For Pete's sake. So we get a blam, and then the video recorder, the camera, just kind of falling to the ground. We only see one blam, but I'm assuming he shot both of them.
Yeah, we do not see either of these characters again. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Let's call back to the old days of Mac Browning, like killing the reporters. That's his favorite victims.
I'm a little I'm against his killing civilians policy, but I'm kind of on the fence with the killing journalists policy. I kind of understand what he's talking about here.
Instead of
Now, I
free
mean,
press, you're like free to murder the press.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, if it's just a they're a danger to themselves, I'm not quite sure why you're shooting them. But like the guy, okay, maybe you want to stop the camera, but shooting an unarmed girl seems a little, dodgy. But
Right?
anyway.
Yeah, what do you, I mean, paranormal explosions, the Washington Monument used as a baseball bat, like you're not keeping it a secret. Like what are you doing? I don't
Yeah.
know. Anyway, so
What happened here? No one saw anything. What?
so
Closed for renovations. Sorry, guys.
yes. Speaking of, so Rotzfau was still sitting down in the Air and Space Museum. Sihawk goes flying down towards the hole in the ceiling he had made when he landed there. They talk about, Thomas asks Wayne if he can get into his head, and he's like, "No, it's just static. I think he's got his brain on hold, even if he even has one like the rest of us." And then Rostov starts launching space memorabilia up out of the hole at them. And, Sihawk flies down. Basically, they wrap Rostov up in stuff. And then Boyd grabs him to use the leeching powers to kind of drain his energy. Just basically, it looks like Rostov's wrapped in a blanket, but I'm presuming it's some kind of metal or something. And he grabs him by the neck to leech his energy. And
GP
although,
said, I forgot what that was. It was like very yes or something.
now yes, it was like the other one, I guess, but we'll see.
Maybe, yeah, maybe that's all it. Sorry.
So, although he's draining the energy, this triggers Lindsay's powers, so she can touch things owned by people and then kind of learn about them and their past and maybe where they are, but definitely not see the future, as was occasionally advertised. Totally not a useless power for Psyhawk to have or anything, but
We gave up the power to heal and bring ourselves back to life for this.
right. Also, explosions would have been nice too. But yeah, so like Rotzfau's like coating, because again, he's this weird looking, he's got like plastic coating over most of his skin, covering like yellow, bubbly energy stuff. But that's like an item, so she can sense it. And so we learn Rostov's backstory in the middle of the battle, which is actually kind of cool. So we're back at his cabin in the snow. He was apparently a sculptor or a sculptor.
Yes.
And he's got a family, a wife, and two kids. He loves them. He chops wood. And he's going out with a ridiculous smile on his face that he has while he's fighting. But it just happened, just so happened to be the white event, and he was on the short end of the paranormal stick. So it's like, on such a beautiful day, and yet why did my life have to end on such a beautiful day? So white, the beautiful day lied. Something in Russian, such a white event.
Yeloye sobotie, white event.
White event. Oh, nice. But yeah, so you get the big white event flash, and then his body kind of turns into energy. So basically, it looks like his eyes are exploding out of his head, and he's kind of smoldering and like covered in power. His wife comes running to him. Are you gonna this on Russian on?
I think they forgot a L there, like Lyubimi. Lyubimits Shtagspina is, as they say, stay back.
Okay, so we got that in English anyway. It's like, darling, stay back. She runs. They get close to touching hands, and he accidentally vaporizes her. The kids are standing there in the doorway, shocked, like, and he's like, stay away. And he kind of like, motions his arm as if to like stay back. But this launches like a scuzz spitball of energy, and then they explode. So. Yeah, I guess that's why this guy's so messed up.
Yeah, it's a sad situation there.
We're still hoping he dies, though, but.
I mean, he is, lives in pain, was born in pain, put him out of his misery. Yeah.
Indeed. So he kind
Next
of
page.
shocked. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, we've got a ya tribute, yeah. Abjit. Abjit. I need to live, apparently. E yeah. Anyway, yes,
Yeah.
I need to live. Let's call it that.
Gotcha. Russian is hard.
It's a lot of syllables and
Yeah. So he kind of like screams out of the hold and kind of explodes, and Psy-Hawk's turn to go flying. I'm like, well, that worked out great, didn't it? Shut up, Ling. He's coming again. And here the tables kind of turn. So Psy-Hawk dives into Rostvow. We need to take this guy out. They're punching each other back and forth. And then a plane comes in. So the good old US Army launching some missiles. It looks like Psy-Hawk gets the worst of it. That kind of explodes in the middle in a strangely cartoonish looking tomb, tomb, tomb. Looks a little Bugs Bunny. And Rostvow just kind of stays there, but Psy-Hawk gets launched and crashes through another building, like the National Archives, maybe, or something like that. We kind of see that later.
yeah, I'm seeing some like internal jokes here with the
Oh, for
like it's
sure.
a hall of Marvel comics or something.
Though, or maybe just comics, but yeah.
Well, like the and on the next page, there's some
Yeah.
like you'll see, but
Yeah. So Rostvow takes out the plane. Again, kind of killing. We get apparently Mac Browning has landed, decided not to be narrating the whole thing via helicopter. And he's like, the Hawk guy fell into the American History Museum. The Russian is standing in midair, laughing at us, sir. What do we do next? Again, Browning's not really sure. He's like, oh, all I know how to do is kill civilians. Let's pray this animal, pray we can stop this animal before anyone gets hurt. But yeah, as Psy-Hawk does fly out of the building, like it does look like there's a Marvel display or something. Though it looks like somebody's stealing a copy of Action Comics, like the first Superman.
Yeah, action number one seems to be on a cover there, and he's either stealing or taking it into protective custody there is like everything. Falls apart in the museum. He's like, oh, well, I better get this out of here. Might be in danger. It could also, yeah. Another random bearded guy that we all
Mike
enjoy meeting
Witherby
this week.
doesn't quite look like Witherby.
It does. Oh my gosh. It's like a confession he wrote out himself.
Yeah,
Amazing.
his hat says Marshall, but that doesn't really give anything away to me. Anyway, so that's just kind of a weird, goofy little interlude. Psy-Hawk stops to pick up a camera. It's like, look over there, you see it. Like, what, the camera? It's like, and this is Lindsay thinking this. She's like, yes, Kathy, get it, lift it up. We can show the world that we're trying to help. Show them we're really heroes.
So
Okay.
yeah, this is the same camera that the reporters got shot from with. Yeah.
Correct.
So.
They're like, Lindsay, are you sure this is a good idea? It's like, trust me, Ty, please. America needs to see the truth. They need to know what's happening. Do we have the technology in 1988 for wireless video camera to go straight to broadcast? I feel like that would have to be plugged into like the van with the tower thing on it.
Yeah, I don't know if you needed a wire to the van or like it was just the van was close by, but that does seem sound like right that
I'm pretty sure they're recording this on videotape is what they're doing, but I mean, in the world here, it ends up getting broadcast on TV. Browning comes out of his tent. Oh, dear God, now the whole country will know. It just keeps getting worse. You know, whereas Lindsay's narrating, they need to know what's happening. Maybe if people knew about paranormals from the beginning, none of this would have ever happened.
You're a real optimist, aren't you, Lindsay?
Quite the optimist. So yeah, they're on camera. And it gets a little yellow, which I'm thinking is back to Wayne. His kind of starts tan and turns yellow. It's like, that's it. Camera's on, folks. Everyone's watching. And so Psy-Hawk and Rodspouse square off. You know, we get little vignettes of a bunch of different people. Basically, Mac Browning's family watching the TV by his chair. Person in a hospital bed with the cast that I don't recognize. And I don't think either of us could figure out. You get Tyrone's body in San Francisco. A kind of rough caricature of the Proud Hawks. It's looking a little.
Eugene and what's her name? Dang it, I had this written down somewhere.
Yeah, Eugene and the grandmother. Was it Proud Hawk's mother then? And we get Babel from the Medusa web.
Emily, sorry.
What's that?
Emily and Eugene,
Emily, thank you.
Proudhawk, yes.
And then some other people, a guy with a
And then a
gun
couple, yeah.
and his wife, maybe just some randoms. And so, you know, the battle's really getting on in earnest. You know, they're launching stuff at each other, they're punching, you know, someone, you know, hits his head on the turnbuckle and goes off the top rope, you know, some John Cena.
Oh my God, that's illegal. I can't believe he got away with that.
Notably, it looks like when Rothschild smacks Psy-Hawk, like his outer casing is starting to crack, and we get a little bit of energy coming out. So a little gap in the action, though mostly it looks like Rodspouse taking it to Psy-Hawk. All right, more and more pages of action to come here. And well, I kind of said it before, but you know, Psy-Hawk seems to be getting a little bit more of the worst of it. Rodspouse kind of dives into him, throws him down in front of the White House, yeah, in front of the White House, covered in guards, including Schnitzler. Must mean something to somebody.
There's sometimes they name things and it means nothing to us. Yeah, this is one
Yeah.
of those cases.
You know, the army kind of opens fire on Rotzval, but it's kind of pointless. The bullets melt before they even touch him. It is kind of like a WWF wrestling match. Like, he gives him the spear, and then he's on the ground, and he stalks up to him, but then Psy-Hawk kicks him in the face, and then he goes flying, and, you know, some twists and turns. They're like, we got it. He's like, the casing on him is chipping off. We got to keep pounding him. When we were in his mind before, we saw that casing is the only thing keeping his energy together. Yeah, but maybe bad things would happen if you cracked open the casing. Questionable.
Remember, I want to say Kingdom Come, the DC Elseworlds title, like Captain Atom, like his casing was
Yeah.
split open and it was like a nuke going off.
Right.
Anyway, carry on.
What's the worst that can happen? But yeah, so like Psy-Hawk kind of hits him with some kind of head beam. I don't know. It looks like the powers are getting a little loose here. Looks like a Cyclops eye blast or something, but and then Razvatl kind of panics and then hits him with a ton of energy. Random person is in the way and gets vaporized, and things are getting a little wild.
I
But
do.
Psy-Hawk.
I liked Thomas. If we tear his casing open, it'll be like cutting open a milk carton. What? Why would you? Okay.
Sure. Sure.
I don't have breakfast with Thomas. I don't know what he's doing with his milk, but no.
Yeah, so like this energy blast is pretty serious. It actually like burns off Psy-Hawk's wings. He's got these big like eagle wings or hawk wings, I suppose. A couple more people get vaporized, and then Razvatl kind of picks Psy-Hawk up and throws him in the air. There's tanks around, but they don't seem to do much. He crashes down in through a subway. We go, oh Lord, it's the creature. It's a bunch of people who probably should have fled by now, standing around.
I don't know. I would have thought the subway would be a good place to go, like a
Underground,
bomb
yeah.
shelter, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Not so much. Not so much. Again, this now Psy-Hawk's really on the ropes here. He's looking a little ragged. Razvatl comes flying down, basically doesn't look much worse for wear. Either they forget to draw the crack in its shoulder or he fixed it on an earlier panel. I don't know. Sometimes they show it, but lately in the end they don't. Train comes in. I don't know, is he like holding him against the third rail or something here? Like it's a little vague, but it basically kind of grabs him by the head. Picks him up over his head like Ultimate Warrior style. Strasha Etat America? You got that one?
Horror of this? I'm not quite sure what that
Yeah.
meant.
Time to get scared, America. But he kind of looks up at the hole they had crashed through, gets an idea. He's kind of laughing and flying, and now he can also make Psy-Hawk hover alongside him, like telekinetically. Like powers are all over the place. I don't know what's going on. Psy-Hawk looks roasted. They're barely talking. The camera is still floating there. Who's controlling that? I don't know. But we get this huge punch. Energy starts leaking out of Psy-Hawk, and our team looks like they're on the ropes. We get wake up, Kath. Ty can't lock onto him, can't do nothing. I'm presuming this is Wayne, though the coloring is kind of falling apart. Oh God, help me.
Yeah.
I can see inside everyone's mind. Everyone. So maybe it's like a flash of Wayne's power. We see Michael Crawley crying sad by a rainy window. We get Wayne's dad watching the wrestling show on TV, like dropping his beer. Lindsay's stepdad from the hotel way back when, a Cylon in a straitjacket, which I think is one of the Siberian Project children who we've barely seen. Tyrone's little younger brother. Get Jake Travis laughing like this guy's gone full on bonkers mode, I guess.
He's now the Joker of the new universe, I
Right.
guess. Okay.
Just. Sorry, Josh, but just kill that guy and get it over with already. Kathy's cat and some randoms. So we get little vignettes and it's like Sidara, stay strong. We would have made a good team. And it looks like a younger Stassi. Like we were guessing earlier, maybe this is a future character. And then we get Finelli. You feeling it, don't you? Thinking it could have been you with us, and it was like a kid in an alley, like with the shakes, kind of. And you said perhaps this was one of the original missing psychic teens.
Yeah, Proudhawk had the list, and because Shining Star was like also recruiting or killing people, there was a couple of names missing, and we weren't they were maybe assumed dead, but I think this is one of them.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
So, it's not looking good. Just be glad it wasn't everyone across the whole stinking world right now. Just think, be glad it wasn't. Everyone across the whole stinking world right now is thinking, thank God it wasn't us. And so we get like a multi-panel page of Psyhawk pretty much exploding, or like kind of like all the energy's coming out of it, like a milk carton that's been cut open. It says, the devil with you all. We did the best we could. And whatever's left of Psyhawk kind of flumps onto the ground. Notably, the army guy's still pointing his gun at Psyhawk's corpse at this point. Like, good going, dudes. They
He
open fire.
landed head first, so yeah,
Right,
it doesn't
yeah.
look like.
It's not good. Rothsvell lands too. They open fire on him, but it's basically useless. You know, he blocks. I see a little bit of the crack, and like again, it's there and then it's gone. So I'm still not really sure if he's fixing it or if they just forget to draw it. He's blocking bullets, smiling, just basically hamming it up. But he's apparently right next to the vault where they keep the Constitution, so his job's not done. He's coming for your paranormals. He's coming for your paperwork.
Uh-oh.
And here's where Browning finally gets upset. Like, you know, killing people, nah, that's fine. Wrecking the Constitution. So he comes running in. Lower the bolts. He's coming this way. If he gets those documents. Oh, God, not this. And Rothschild's basically just kind of stalking in, laughing. The. Mac Browning puts himself between Rothsvell and the Constitution with his gun. Take one step closer to these documents and you're dead. And like, I'm like, come on, dude. Like, you just saw all the bullets bounce off him or melt. And he doesn't even bother shooting. Rothsvell just, you know, laughs, makes some noises, kind of looks at him, smacks him aside, doesn't even bother killing Mac Browning. And yeah, just basically smashes open the window and roasts the US Constitution, which I think actually is the real one on display. Like, it's not like a copy, and then they keep the other one like secreted away somewhere.
Good question. I would have thought there's a couple of them, but yeah, one of them is on display. Okay,
Yeah.
interesting.
And it's kind of a weird ending that we didn't end with Psyhawk dying, but the Constitution dying as the final page. Like, that's the sadder moment or something. But anyway, he burns it up, laughs, kind of dusts his hand off with it. And Mac Browning gets the last line. He's like, only paper. Go ahead. Disappear. Go home. It was only paper. Only the last spirit and hope this country had left. So we get a little panel of We the People burning and then end. Right? I'm not to say that the Constitution, the actual paper document, isn't like a cool and important historic piece of documentation, but guy could kill anybody. Your army can't stop him. Like, oh, we're more worried about the Constitution.
Does this mean we're no longer bound by the Constitution?
I guess it is, yeah. I mean,
We're free! We're
they already
free!
like drafted whoever they wanted and
I was
kill
gonna
anyone
say,
who goes near the pit.
is it better or worse to like see the Constitution go up in a puff of flame in 1988, or spend the next 30 years watching the courts and the administrative ch state chip away at it? First Amendment gone, Second Amendment going. I think they just killed the Fifth or something against the warrantless searches. Don't make me
Tell us how you really feel.
nothing. I'm fine.
But
It's dead letter. But anyway.
that's it. That's the end.
That
Next
is
issue.
it after 27, 8 pages.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Wow. This is why we couldn't do the announcer, the wrestling announcer voice the whole episode. I think we'd have
Yeah.
both been in worse shape than Psyhawk by this point.
There totally was some solid wrestling moves, but
was
We need, but what they really needed was someone to rush in and try and save him, you know? Like Psyhawk's going down, he's losing the fight. Maybe if he hadn't ruined Starbrand, like he would have seen it on TV. That was kind of his thing. Like he would have stood a chance against
Hey
Russian
Ken,
Bubble
get a load
Man.
of this. They're like the boys at the auto detailing. Some clown in DC is saying he's going to burn the Constitution if no one's going to stop him. I just remembered my left my lunch at home. I'll see you guys later. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, I think we're going for like a big sort of pit level event here, but one that's sort of more psychological, I guess.
Yeah, and geez, if Psy-Hawk can't take this guy out, like, what's left?
Well, that's the thing. It was like, doesn't this guy have to go down at some point? But maybe not. Yeah. Or at least not yet.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if Psy-Hawk can't do it, he's stronger than all of the others put together.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really any super heavy hitters on DP7. I mean, Kickers Inc. could roll up in like the Kickers van or something. Like, let's go, guys.
We've got a powerful paranormal mentioned in Universe News, but that I don't think is quite what we're looking for.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it leaves you kind of wondering. I'm not sure, even sure, like you, if Rod Stvau is even, kind of beaten down. He looks, it could be the art, but he doesn't look too much different from the on the last page than the first. So
Yeah.
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 Ah.
He does power down. Like, we did kind of see that. Like, he expended all of his energy to get to the sanctuary and then blew it up and then, left because he'd kind of
True,
ran out of juice, I guess. But he didn't seem to have really any limits whatsoever in this fight. So.
yeah. So, I mean, again, with the sort of provocation towards war, you've got a obvious Russian national doing this in the National Mall and trashing half of it. Yeah, that's like the definition of a diplomatic incident.
Oh yeah. So if something was going to lead to the war, then like this could be it, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of something that like closer to what I'd imagined before, like a paranormal makes a public display of saving someone. So here you kind of got both halves of the coin. You've got a dramatically dangerous paranormal, but you've got a one that seems to be trying to protect the country or the people, not Mac Browning.
Right.
And so, and it's all televised, so you've got that sort of aspect of it. There's definitely pieces of this that I really appreciate. Wayne sort of mind linking everyone.
Yeah.
I think in the previous letter column, Nicieza had mentioned that he likes doing the story from someone's point of view, and so this is literally from Psyhawk's point of view.
Right, which we didn't
Psy
know he had one.
yeah, indeed. And honestly, I would have expected some like weird four-dimensional thing that was completely cryptic, but instead, it just ends up being the five teenagers kind of arguing amongst themselves. But yeah, I mean, Browning, even though he's still leads to the death of more journalists, does nevertheless have like a sort of an emotional moment or two in there.
Right. And if we didn't already know he was a soulless monster, then we could almost like feel for him a little bit there.
Exactly. I think, yeah, the physics of a couple of these things were a bit much. And I don't want to get into like you know, how like the scale of things in DC, those buildings are pretty sizable, all the, you know, pillars in front of the classical buildings and such.
Yeah, in my head, I feel like they got the monument scale wrong, like it's too big almost. But it's been a while since I've been down there.
Was there recently, but couldn't say. It does feel a little weird, in terms of how they scale it. As we said, Lindsay's power versus Stassi's. Thanks for that interlude. It's informative, but didn't help us win the fight. So, okay.
Yeah, good for the comic, bad for the characters.
Yeah. And overall, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, as like the like pulse pounding Clash of Titans, I'd say it's generally good, but it does let so it feels let down by the art a lot.
You think so?
I,
I thought
you
the art was
know,
honestly better than last issue. And last issue was Bagley, the
yeah.
death of Stassi thing. Like this one, it felt pretty okay. Like, you know, there's nothing that took me out of it. Like no weird faces. Everything seemed kind of okay. Like the like Rostov is just kind of weird. Like he's a weird design, and like this like crazy smiling all the time. And Psyhawk looks different than we're used to. Like it just does not look like the Simonson design. It's a little
To
more
be honest,
edgy.
he's using more of the wings so much that he's like Hawkman, which is interesting. And visually it's good, but not really how I thought of him before. It was more, he seems sort of insubstantial before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, I don't know. Yeah, the art isn't like it. I'm just saying it doesn't sort of sell the like powerful moments as well as I might
I see.
imagine. Descriptively, it's yeah, it gets the job done, but I'm feeling like you wanted to sort of go way over the top with this, and yeah, it ends up looking at or near the top, I guess. I
Gotcha.
don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, like this that opening splash page is pretty nice though. It's just like a lot of really good detail on everything. Those little cars and people in the background, like clearly put a lot of energy into that.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I'm more sold on the art, I guess.
Yeah. Nolan, I double checked, long career, had did a lot of stuff at DC and then came back to Marvel.
Yeah.
Several books that I remembered and remembered liking, so no, whatever putting down him.
Yeah, Mike Witherbee on inks, man.
And
It's just
Witherby
a
on
fun name to
inks.
say. Like, I feel like it might sound like I'm like ragging on him or something, but it's just inker I don't really know, but name is fun to say. Witherbee.
We've got a profile on Witherby, and he comes off as the most normie of normies, I gotta say.
Finally.
Let's see. Any other thoughts before we head into the
Yeah.
back matter?
I mean, can Psyhawk die?
That's
Is
a
he
good
just like a
question.
psychic manifestation of power or something? He's not a dude. At least that was kind of my interpretation of it.
They somewhere say that like they're using Proudhawk's power, and that's Psyhawk.
Yeah, but Proudhawk's power was the same as Wayne's power.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's the thing here. Same thing that Emmett Proudhawk did when he gave us the ability to tap into his parability, which is Psyhawk.
Yeah, that doesn't make any
Okay.
sense.
I mean, yeah. Oh, and by the way, Tyrone's body is in San Francisco. So how does he join the thing?
Right.
He
And if
can't
he
link
joins
hands
the
with
thing,
people.
then why is his power not there, right? Like that, gosh, like you would win. Just freaking don't get hit, right?
He's insubstantial. Now he's got the power of a god. Okay, he's
Yeah, all you
everything.
need to do is be insubstantial and then, let the combat skills of Thomas take over. So hit him with Thomas and then block with Tyrone, right? But I don't know.
Use Lindsay to kind of know where his punches are coming from. Kathy to power yourself up, and missing one.
Waiting for cheerleading,
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
You
But
need
and
to
then
tell.
we're assuming then that the teens are not dead because they were just psychically manifesting. Their bodies are just hanging out, like passed out where they were before.
I mean, that's the thing. It's hard to imagine we've killed the whole team, you know? And so that sort of bit of meta awareness always makes it like,
How come if you die in the dream, you die in real life, but if you die as Psyhawk, you don't die as real in real life?
that's a good question. We'll have to ask Nightmask that one. Yeah, let's join powers with Nightmask. Project ourselves into Rod Stiles' dream and then kill him in the dream where he's powerless.
Mildly annoy him.
Yeah, I think, so we end the book with this kind of open question. And then the next issue, I'm guessing we're going not we may not even see the team.
Right. Power for the
So,
praying, and we got our old buddy Andrew Chaser, the coolest
yeah.
guy ever.
So I think this is going to be his, like, him talking about them or something. Given a funeral for him, I don't know. But yeah, it honestly, their bodies wouldn't be too hard to find, so I don't know.
Right.
But
So Psy Force 25, Nukin or the Pits? Which we sometimes forget to do.
so as I guess I was leading up to it before. I would give it the low end of Nukin. I did enjoy
You're either
it.
nuked or you're not.
So I will. I'll go nuked. It's not. It is not the pits.
Okay, I'll go. So you're like, the Davy Crockett micro atomic bomb, and I'll be the hydrogen bomb. Like I'm full nuking. I enjoyed it.
Okay. I gave it about like a B. I mean, it's yeah. It just like a, for like. Ragnarok? Yeah, okay.
Psyhawk's back. Mac Browning's doing what Mac Browning do.
What a bizarre character that, like, what's your thing? Do you like, use web slinging and climb walls? No, I shoot civilians, or I order civilians to be shot. It's usually not me, but anyway,
One or the other. Yeah.
it's like. So Nick Fury is a psychopath.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it rises to the level of A minus for me, but so I'll stick with B plus, but it was pretty good. A couple little niggling little problems, but mostly quite good. I will weep for the Constitution.
Fair enough. So, yeah, as we say, we've got a next issue with a cover. Leading us to expect a Andrew Chaser intensive issue. And we got a
Right.
couple of house ads. The Evolutionary War is the crossover for the summer annuals. As we said, if we expected annuals, they would should be out right around now. They're not there.
Nothing.
I'm gonna also we had talked before about how the war was supposed to start in the summer. So possibly that was kind of, this like ongoing series of prestige format books. The war would be coming out around this time at the earliest. As we know, it didn't show up until issues 32 were on the
Yeah,
stands.
maybe this was supposed to kick it off originally.
Quite possibly, yeah. Then, yeah, I mean, that's a big buildup to, okay, let's hit the storm the beaches, yeah. So Suicide is not the answer, which is last month's promo,
Yeah.
and we assumed it was to deal with Dave Landers and DP7. So, hopefully no more characters will be committing suicide. On sale this month, we'll finish up this month with Starbrand 16, which is the goofiest cover of any new universe book.
What is that boring guy's name again? Roger or something?
Roger and Jane.
Roger and Jane and some kind of weird Doctor Doom robot.
A Doom bot, yes. We've got the official timeline that we can hit next time. But it is Mike Witherby week here at the
Well,
Spinnerack.
withertastic.
So yeah, profile on Mike Witherby. He is the inker on Psi-Force. He has had experience on Silverhawks and some Marvel Universe figures. Did some Conan pinups. My hobbies are Bible study, weight training, American history, specifically from 1913 on, and throwing the frisbee in the park with Steve.
Nice.
Well, thanks, man. My pet peeves are fine. Private financial institutions illegally masquerading as government agencies.
Dang, this is your guy.
This is Rand Paul in
People who
1988.
don't rack their weight. Is that like a
Some weight
gym? That's got to
training
be a gym
thing.
reference, right? Like you don't put your heavy metal things back on the rack.
I guess. Okay. And state incorporation of churches. Okay. His place of birth is Anchorage, Alaska. So he's a little from out in the wild frontier. And he's got a wife and three children. He talks a bit about how he got into comics because he first thing he got was a Silver Surfer number 4 by John Buscema. Loved it so much that now he still dreams of working with John Buscema. Oh, and he does like L. Ron Hubbard as far as book goes.
Oh yeah.
So perhaps, I don't know, man.
L. Ron Hubbard's Mission Earth Decalogy, all 10. So he's likes him enough to have read 10 books from that curious character.
That was I don't know. That wasn't the best looking series I ever saw. But it's not one that includes Battlefield Earth. I always mix those up a bit.
Gotcha. Mission Earth, not Battlefield Earth.
I'm sorry. Fourth Reich of the Rich. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, we also saw RoboCop and enjoyed it.
There you go.
And I
This
don't even
is why it's
remember.
funny looking at these things. Either RoboCop with Peter Weller, everyone knows RoboCop, or Revolution without Al Pacino. I've never heard that word in my life.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound familiar at all.
At some point, those things were entirely like one or the other. They're all the same. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
So let's see. Perhaps we'll hold off on
All the biggest of the news is.
the big news is, and wrap it up there. What do you say?
Outro it up.
All right. That is it for this week's episode. And in case you were wondering, this season will go on to is including the 25 issues, and then we'll take a do a recap of this season 4. So we're not finished just yet. Next time on the New Universe, we will check in on our displaced paranormals with their cast of thousands, DP7 number 25.
All right. DP725. Remember the family that got stuck in the pit in the gross story? Well, the experience has taken its toll by transforming them to the belligerent biomorph Femilich.
Yeah.
Who names these things? Even
Who
with
in there?
brand new powers, can Antibody beat them by himself? Written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, and inked by Danny Bulinati.
New powers.
Yeah,
Interesting.
I guess.
Well, in the meantime, you can find us on our website, kickersinc.com, and you can always contact us by email at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
Your fighting has injured dozens of civilians.
America needs to see the truth. They need to know what's happening. Maybe if people knew about paranormals from the beginning, none of this would have happened.
It just keeps getting worse.